Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. Hey guys, this is Rick, and welcome to Affair Recovery Radio tonight. I'm here by my lonesome, and we're going to be talking about the new website launch that is coming up this next week. We're all really quite excited about it, and I think that those of you who have been involved with us and those of you who have not will find it to be actually quite an experience. And so we're going to be talking to some people who have been involved with the website this evening. We also have a very, very interesting contest going on, and it's actually been a lot of fun for those of us who have been reading it. And it's our bad advice contest. And the way we've been working it is the person who gets the worst advice actually the top five pieces of worst advice are going to actually get a free subscription for a year, as well as one of our courses. So, you know, this is probably close to a $700 value. And since, you know, we're not talking thousands and thousands of people, but certainly hundreds, and maybe a couple of thousand, but the probabilities of being able to win are pretty good, because from what we've heard in our offices and online, there are a lot of people who've gotten bad advice. And, you know, it's our goal and our aim to make sure that people actually get some very, very sound advice. And so for that reason, that's actually one of the reasons we've set up the website. I thought we might even start off with a couple of them that we got here just online. Just reading is kind of interesting. This one says, the worst advice I ever got about getting over the fact that I was betrayed by my husband was to betray him in the same way to get him back. How ignorant was that? You're trying to scrape what's left of your marriage, and you receive the advice to hurt your spouse like he hurt you. I wouldn't wish this hurt on anyone, even the person who created it. Somebody wrote here, worst advice ever. My mother calmly suggested, honey, you're getting older. Why can't you just lose a bit of weight and look the other way and take what your hubby has to offer when he's there? That's an interesting one. Another one, someone told her, he told you why he did it, why not let go? That I can understand that one. Another one, I was told by several people that I should go and just ignore the affair and pretend it never happened, even if he continued to see her. So let me just scroll down here and just find one more. Immediately after my husband stated he was leaving me for another woman 15 years younger than him, and not notifying me that he had a six-year-old son, and that his current girlfriend was pregnant, I desperately sought out a Christian counselor. Although this counselor was aware that I had taken my husband back numerous times after affairs, she advised me to continue supporting him, loving him both emotionally and physically, and he would eventually turn around. This advice, although nice, was a complete violation to any type of boundaries or protection. So, you know, as you go through this and begin reading it, you begin to see that people have been told a lot of really crazy things as they go through this. And our goal at the Affair Recovery Center is actually to let people talk with others who have actually been through it. What we've discovered over time is that most people think they know exactly how they would respond if this happened to them, but they don't. And because they really don't know how they would respond, they give some really outlandish advice. on our website, what we actually do is we have people who, by the grace of God, have come to the other side, have been there and done that, and actually have a much more, I think, moderate and a sound way of looking at it, because they do understand the pain, and at the same time, they also know this pain will eventually go away. And so we encourage people to actually hook up with others who can be great mentors. I've told the story on the air before, but for Stephanie and I, one of the greatest blessings when we went into recovery was simply the fact that, and I think literally by the hand of God, we went to Nashville after, I guess, about 6 weeks into our journey, maybe not even quite that long. It may have just been four. And, you know, whether or not we were going to make it was still skeptical. And we were going to a workshop. And it wasn't anything about infidelity. But a friend of mine that I was staying with there said, "Hey, I think you really ought to talk to the conference speaker, because I think he's had a situation similar to yours." And I said, "You think or you know?" And he said, "Well, I just think." And I said, "So let me get this straight. You want me to go up to someone that I've never met, who's leading a conference with over 1,000 people, and just say, 'Hey, you know, I hear that you're like me.'" And he said, "Well, you know," and my wife now, on the other hand, Stephanie, thought that was a great idea. So I said, "Okay, I'll make you guys a deal. If we see him alone," knowing that at a conference of 1,000 people, we would never see him alone, "then I'll talk to him." So we skipped a session, and we're actually walking around on the Belmont University campus there in Nashville about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was the conference speaker and his wife, Jamie and Jackie, sitting underneath a gazebo, nobody else in sight. And my wife was ecstatic, and I was just going, "My, what a coincidence," you know. And so Stephanie grabs me and jerks me over there to this guy, and we sit down across from him. And I said, "Hey, I hear that maybe," because, I mean, how do you even start this conversation? I mean, it was tough. And I said, "I hear that maybe we've had a similar situation." And he said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, I've cheated on my wife." And he looked at me and paused for a second. He said, "Yeah, well, I did the same thing." And I said, "Thank God." I said, no, not that you cheated on your wife, but she was that, you know, you're similar to me, that you're like me. And so we began to talk. And as we talked, he said, "Have you read anything?" And I said, "Oh, man, I just finished a book called The Myth of the Greener Grass by Alan Peterson," which was a tremendous blessing. I said, "In fact, there was a chapter in that book called The Anatomy of an Affair. And that chapter was so incredible." I said, "That guy's story was mine. I mean, that was me to a T." And I even had Stephanie read it, because it was such a relief to find out to me that I wasn't a freak, that I wasn't the only person in the world that this had happened to, and that, you know, I wasn't the only pervert. And he said, "Yeah, I've read that book." And I said, "You remember that chapter on the anatomy of an affair?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, that guy is me." And he said, "Yeah, that's me." And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he said, "No, Rick, that's my story. Alan Peterson came down and interviewed me. That is my story." And I was blown away that I'd had the good fortune of meeting somebody whose story I had been able to so relate to. I mean, it was an incredible blessing. But, it was more than just a blessing to me. It was a phenomenal blessing to Stephanie, because as Stephanie began to talk to Jackie, Jamie's wife, she was able to also find a tremendous amount of hope. And Jackie was able to share with her the things that had worked in her life as she had begun to work through all of these things. So in that light, and that's one of the primary reasons we began to set up the website. Obviously, the best advice we got were from the people who had already been there and done that. And that's the purpose of the ARC, the Affair Recovery Center subscription site. Now, some of you may be saying, "Well, why in the world do y'all charge money for this?" And the fact of the matter is, for us to train the mentors, do everything we need to do for this type of website and the other services we're providing on the website, we do have to charge. At the same time, we're not trying to charge too much, and we've got a special offer that's going to be going on for the next week. If you want to jump on board and get lock your rate for lifetime, as long as you may need the site, And we'd love to be able to be a part of your journey. Once you join the website, what you find is you're going to be able to get the full length of all of these radio programs. You're going to be able to find online courses. Actually, we have some what we call the Life Course that'll be inside the subscription site that you can join. You'll have opportunities to be a part of question answer sessions that are just for subscribers, where ARC staff will be running those particular seminars. And you'll find lots of benefits like that. But the main thing you're going to find is that you're going to have a mentor. You're going to have somebody who can talk to you, and you're going to have forums with other hurt spouses or other unfaithful spouses where you can process, where you can talk. Well, actually, it's all anonymous. You can't talk, so it's got to be by email. But where you can communicate and, you know, just get some much, much, much needed support. So as we go through this and as we get ready to launch the new site, and we're going to be launching it on Tuesday this week. So that'll actually be on the 1st of July. That's our goal, unless something happens between now and then and I somehow don't finish something or the shopping cart doesn't work and we have to postpone it today. But it's happening this week, but hopefully on July 1st. And if you'll go to the website, you can actually join our priority notification list, and so that you can be notified when the website goes live. And you can at that point join, and you'll actually get special bonuses. We've got some special videos we're going to be sending out to people joining the website. And as you go through that, I think you're going to find those videos to be very, very useful. And those videos will be very time limited. They're just going to be available during the week. And at the end of the week, actually the price for the website is going to go up. So we want as many people as need the website to be able to get a hold of it and take advantage of it. But at the same time, just because of cost of producing some of these things and training and the types of services we're offering, we are going to be raising the price at the end of a week. So be sure to join that. And if you're interested in getting on the site for free, then you certainly need to get a hold of the Bad Advice blog. And, man, I'll tell you, if you just go to the website at affairrecovery.com, on the right-hand side, you will see just a little notification for the Bad Advice blog. And I'll tell you, I'd love for, you know, 100 or 200 of you that are just listening to the program tonight to join in. And if nothing else, just go read. And it's astounding the types of things that people are told. At the same time, you can just pray for those people, because it's really, really painful to get some of this stuff. I was just looking over here. Here was another one. This comment was from a college psychology professor who was also a close friend just a few weeks after a divorce from a 30-year marriage. He said, "I've worked with a lot of divorced people, and you by far are taking it harder than anyone else I know." This comment was from a close friend right after the adultery was uncovered. "I know he committed adultery numerous times, but it isn't all his fault. There's always two sides to every divorce." This comment was actually from a good friend. "You need to do what a friend told my mom after she found out my dad had a short-term affair. His sister-in-law, husband's sister, gave her a metal fence post about 6 feet long and a sledgehammer and told her to hammer it into the ground until it disappeared into the dirt and then forget about it and not go out and dig it up again until it was over. Leave it buried." Those are the types of things people get told. And you know what? That's sad. And we want people to get really sound advice about, you know, how do you end up taking care of yourself? How do you find hope? How do you begin to trust again? How do you begin to find a way out of this craziness as you go through this? So affairrecovery.com. Come join our bad advice contest and see if you can't win some really good stuff, you know, free subscription as well as an online course. And again, our online courses are not cheap. And so all of that together is going to run probably in the neighborhood of about $700. So it's a pretty good prize just for getting some bad advice. And we figured, hey, if you've had to endure the bad advice, you at least deserve some sort of consolation. So maybe getting the free subscription and getting the online course will help some. just kind of make up for the pain you went through because of what others told you. And mostly, again, I don't think people say things with bad intent. They just haven't been there. And so we want to begin to allow that opportunity for you to be with people who have. So for that reason, we're going to actually get a little take a little break here, and we'll be right back with you after the break. Thank you.
If you could have the marriage you've always wanted, even after being cheated on, if you could avoid losing a huge chunk of your standard of living, why would you sentence yourself to an empty, lonely room? Divorce sucks. The emotional trauma and financial loss are much worse than what you think. And infidelity can be cured. It's not as hopeless as it seems. AffairRecovery.com. Almost 90% of the couples completing our program not only enjoy restored marriages, they report a much higher level of marital satisfaction. AffairRecovery.com. Don't give up before it gets better. Join the ranks of those who found new life. AffairRecovery.com, where healing happens.
Does your life seem void of meaning? Do you struggle with depression? Is marriage not turning out as expected? Are you disappointed in the intimacy you share? Has an unwanted behavior taken your life hostage? Do uncontrollable feelings flood uninvited into your life? If so, we can help. Crossroads Counseling is a group of highly trained mental health professionals dedicated to Jesus. Crossroads Counseling is unique in its team approach. Each member has developed a specialty in order to complement their overall goal of helping each person they serve experience the freedom and abundant life afforded through the life of Christ. Give us a call, 512-346-9299. That's 512-346-9299. Or visit our website at crossroads-counseling.net. There is hope and healing. We believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
This is Alistair Begg, and you're listening to The Word 99.3 and 98.5, teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, and we've got our first caller tonight. And I just want to make sure, what is the handle that you go back up by on the website here? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So what's your handle on the website?
I think it's actually a fantastic medium to be able to help people that are suffering the consequences of really some bad choices.
Yeah, but what name do you go by?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air, man.
Oh, good. I go by Samuel.
Okay, I just didn't want to call you by your real name, Samuel. So, okay, because, Samuel, how long have you been a mentor, man?
I think I've been on it since we had the opportunity to. I can't remember time frames. I live day to day, my brother.
Fair enough. And as a mentor, what types of questions, and for those of you who are listening right now, what one of the things I want to do for those of you considering joining the website and being a part, we just want to talk to some people who've taken advantage of it and what their experience has been. And Samuel here is one of our mentors. So, Samuel, what types of questions do you find that people tend to raise for you? Are you one of the unfaithful or the faithful?
I am, unfortunately, one of the unfaithful.
Okay, so you're one of the unfaithful mentors, a male unfaithful mentor. So if somebody joined the website and they had been unfaithful, then potentially you might be somebody they would be assigned to.
Correct.
And it is anonymous, is it not?
Correct. Absolutely. Thank God it's anonymous.
Which is why I had to ask his handle. I didn't want to use his real name. And so what types of questions, Samuel, do you find that people ask you on the website?
You know, there's so many varying questions, but one of the ones that is kind of a leading moment that I always get is, you know, in one way or another, they always seem to say, well, I've kind of done this. I'm not real sure what you've done. And so then I say, well, let me tell you a little bit about my story. And then I tell them what I've done, and inevitably, almost every one of them goes, wow, okay, I guess I'm talking to someone that I can relate to. But one of the questions I find to be pretty repetitive is, I'm not sure how we're going to get through this. I really don't know what the next step is at all.
So they kind of come in wanting to know, what do we do next?
Yeah, I think the overriding theme of most of the people, if not all of them, that I've been able to mentor is simply, how can we ever get through this? What is the next step that we're going to have, supposedly this victorious conquering of the effects of infidelity?
Okay. And what types of things do you begin to tell them about that?
You know, I love being able to mentor these people because, and in kind of a selfish way, I like to use it as an opportunity to help other people get through what we never thought we could get through. It's pure adrenaline for me when I get notifications, as you may or may not have explained, Rick. Whenever somebody updates their forum, we're immediately, as mentors, notified. So my BlackBerry goes off, and I can't wait to log in and find out what one of my mentorees has said. And you know, a lot of times, my biggest desire is to help them realize, look, number one, we're here for you. Number two, this is what worked for us. Number three, there's courses and the website and there's materials that you can go to not feel alone and not feel like you're having to do this thing all by yourself.
Right, right. In terms of maybe the hardest types of questions, well, that they ask, Samuel, what are the things do you find to be the most difficult?
You know, I think one question that a gentleman asked me several months ago when he and I first started to begin the process, he asked me, he said, I'm still thinking about my ex-affair partner. She's on my mind every day. Every now and then I see her because we work in an organization and we come across paths every now and then, but I still think about her, and how do I overcome that? And part of me wants to go and be with her, but yet I know what will happen if I go and be with her. And at face value, it seems like it's just a very easy answer. Don't go. Don't see her. Save your marriage. But when you look at the deeper perplexity of it all, in that man's heart is a tearing and a struggle. And I know so well that struggle, but it's a very difficult place because I'm not Jesus. I don't have the perfect words. I can just tell him what has worked for us and what even you yourself have taught my wife and I, particularly me. And it's a very difficult place because, gosh, you want them to make the right decision, and, man, you live with them. And I love to coach, and I've coached several athletic teams, and I feel like a coach to help these people and to really be there for them. But at the end of the day, they have to make their own decisions and many times experience the consequences of those decisions.
Absolutely. And how does your wife feel about you being a mentor?
You know, my wife loves it because she, again, feels a sense of we're using what was meant to be the destruction and annihilation of our family. We're using it to help other people, Lord willingly, because it's never a guarantee, but we're using our experience and our tragedy and our trauma to see other people get down the road further and not have to make any more of the same mistakes that we made. And Rick, you know this, our recovery was extended longer than it probably needed to be because of just bad wisdom or that's an oxymoron, I guess, but not the greatest amount of wisdom and impartation on how to get through this. And so we've actually seen and I'm sure other mentors would echo these sentiments, but we've seen people move down the road faster and quicker than we ever did simply because they had proper materials, and at some level, I'd like to think that we were able to give them some information that they didn't otherwise have that helped them process things quicker and realize things quicker, particularly for the offender or the betrayer, is helping them realize, listen, you made the choices that you made, and here's some methodologies to help you get through that guilt and shame and condemnation that you're probably dealing with.
So, have you seen the Bad Advice blog?
I did. I just got it.
Okay. And as you remember it for yourself, what was the worst piece, Samuel, of advice that you got? Does anything pop to mind?
Oh, my. We don't have enough time or airspace, but I'll tell you two. One was just a guy said, you know, I'm hearing all kinds of things, and, you know, you have to be aware that I'm hearing stuff too. So, you know, you got to really, I got to know that you're telling the truth. And part of me was like, wait a minute, you're hearing stuff too? What are you talking about? There's nothing here. We're past the point of deception, buddy. Help me save my marriage and save my life. One of the other worst moments of advice was, well, hope it works out. Be strong. And I thought, good God, I've tried to be strong for 34 years of my life. There's got to be more available to me than, hey, hope it works out and be strong.
You mean that be strong thing wasn't working out too good?
Yeah, being strong got me into a 2-year affair, almost a divorce, a very short separation, lost a complete ministry, 6-figure salary. Should I keep going, Rick, or do you think we've gotten the effects of it?
I think that being strong didn't work good.
So, it didn't really pay off.
No, it didn't. So, and I appreciate what you just said, Samuel, that, and I think it's really true that when other people can follow us and learn from our advice, no, just from our experience, not advice, but learn from our experience, man, I'll tell you what, there really are some little bends in the road that you want to avoid, and I think it's just great. And just having someone to talk to that you know you can trust is amazing, because I bet, because you didn't have a mentor when you first started, correct?
No, we had a group that you had put us in. You'll know the professional term, but it was about 6 couples. And, man, that was the most phenomenal thing ever in place of a mentor program. But that group was amazing.
But how long were you down the line before you ever got to do that?
Oh, gosh, at least, I want to say a year and a half, almost 2 years down the road before we even got into you and your program and that couples counseling. That couple, we went a little bit of background. We went from a several hundred member church and a several thousand member organization that we were major leaders of to absolutely nobody. The first day we went to church here in Austin, Texas, we went to a very popular church of about 6,000 members, and we sat in the very top row in the last seat available. And you want to talk about feeling alone and feeling absolutely compelled to just give up. And that little 6-couple group became our church, and God, we prayed for them every night. We just loved to meet with them. And just to echo one of your thoughts, Rick, you're absolutely right, and I think one of the greatest things that ministers to couples is that really it's not even advice. It's simply, this is what worked, and this is what did not work for us. And you're not alone, and I know exactly what you're feeling. Let me tell you what worked for me, and we'll go this together. And I have people that I'm mentoring all the time say, man, thank you so much. That really means a lot.
Right, because it's you probably had some really lonely times that first year and a half.
You know, I think loneliness is really, unfortunately, a part of the healing process for someone as addicted to affirmation and public approval as I was. Even to this day, I struggle with loneliness, because I was surrounded by so many friends and staff members and associates and parishioners in the church and ministry. And the reality is that it's taught me so much to say, look, my affirmation, my security, and my total really intimacy of relationship is really rooted in Christ. My wife is simply complementary of that, and the other relationships take on meaning because my relationship with Christ is where it's supposed to be. It's not vice versa with approval addiction, as one author talks about, and having to have so many people pet me and make me feel secure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Samuel, you've been a blessing to a lot of guys. And if you're somebody that's listening in tonight, I just want you to know that the mentors, the people that have been willing to give their time, who have come through this and been blessed just by being able to recover, are astounding. And it's really a blessing if you get to work with someone like this. And our mentors are not all female. I think a lot of times we get this thought, maybe the guys listening in or the wives may be going, well, you know, but is there anybody for my husband? Or if you're a husband, they may be going, well, is there anybody for me? And the reality is there's lots of them. And those are the ones oftentimes that, I mean, you guys needed every bit as much as the women needed, I promise. And Samuel, with that, I've got somebody else on the line that we need to get a hold of here. So thank you for helping us so much.
Rick, listen, I just appreciate the opportunity to help. And one echoing of your thoughts is that you're absolutely right. There's got to be something for men, and it's so counterintuitive to think that men can get online and listen to another man's thoughts and really counts so much to a man to know, man, I've got somebody that knows what I'm thinking and understands. And if I had had that, man, my healing would have quadrupled in time. And I'm glad that you've established that form. And for any men that are out there that maybe have logged in and maybe haven't been too receptive or thought, man, is this going to be worth it? I promise you, you give it 2 weeks and put into it what you know you should be putting into it. And if it doesn't work, I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy you coffee. I'd do more, but just in case I've got people that are really hungry or really thirsty, I better be careful, Rick. So,
okay, we got. Remember the anonymity thing, though. So, but they can be off the site. Maybe it'd be okay. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Cash deposits. Yes.
Cash
absolutely.
Deposits will work great.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Samuel. And so that was Samuel, and now we have Wallace on the line, and Wallace works the other side of the fence a little bit. Is that not correct, Wallace?
That's right, Rick. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, you're welcome.
And Wallace has been with us for a long time. Now, Wallace, his wife was unfaithful. So he is actually on the male unfaithful, not male hurt side, correct?
That's right.
And so if you're listening in and you're a male and your wife cheated, Wallace is someone that you might get a hold of. And I'll tell you the thing I love about you, Wallace, your writing is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You have such a great command of the language. There are a lot of people that would just be blessed by, I think, some of the things that you write, and I really appreciate your heart. And so what is the what types of questions, Wallace, do people end up maybe asking you that just are kind of general things that they come in with?
Well, kind of like Samuel said, I really enjoyed what Samuel shared, by the way. I thought anybody that would be talking to him would be real privileged as well. But being on the other side of the equation, it's always about the hurt they feel. And I've talked with both some folks who are still trying to salvage the marriage, and some where the marriage was unsalvageable, and the spouse had gone on with somebody else. So there's always a current of extreme hurt, and even if they're staying together, how do I stay in this thing with the amount of distrust and you know, the wreckage that's left after the affair? So that's probably the most common thing that I hear.
So what are the, I think, the most painful situations that you come across in your, kind of as you work with people?
I'm sorry, Rick.
Well, I was just saying, for you personally, Wallace, when somebody writes in, and what are the ones that maybe kind of break your heart the most or the most difficult for you, just, you know, and like, oh, my word, what do I do with this?
Well, to be honest with you, Rick, it's a reinforcement. Since it was 3 or 4 years ago when I first got in touch with you guys, and it's been a reinforcement of how far God's brought me has been the biggest thing. But I guess the heart is just hearing people that it sounds like they don't have the strength to go on, that they're questioning whether to stay alive or not because their marriage was everything to them. And as you know, I've contacted you guys before when I was concerned about
right.
where people were. And that's hard because I want to be able to offer a message of hope because God's brought me so far. And sometimes people have a hard time getting a hold of that message of hope.
Yeah, at the time, I think for most of those people, it probably feels like they may never get through it.
Right.
Yeah. So when people write, how often do you check your email or how often do you try to get back with people just as a mentor?
Pretty quickly. Like Samuel said, I mean, there's been a couple that I felt like they really was just a venting thing. But the ones that are really sincere and need somebody to be there for them, I try to respond to them that same day. So the way that the system's been set up, like Samuel said, we get notified, and as soon as I see a notification, I go there, and if there's any possible way, I take the time, and if it looks like it's going to be need a thoughtful response, I'll wait a little while until I can get back to them, but I always try to get back to them that same day.
Yeah, and one of the things I really appreciate, Wallace, about you, I know that you've had a couple of really difficult situations where people have been in a great deal of despair and where we've actually even talked.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening, having been there, you will understand that at times, I mean, the level of despair that you can experience in this is just awful. And what I love about someone like Wallace or someone like Samuel is just they really do care deeply, and you know they pray for you, and they really understand because they have been there.
Yeah, and I think Rick, one of the things that I want to believe about my experience, and I've experienced it through the mentor program, is that God can use whatever we go through. What the enemy's intended for evil, God can still turn it into good. And out of that despair, there was a place that was open for God to do a further work in my heart and to be able to share that with other people and feel like that experience, as difficult as it was at the time, can now be used as a beacon of light for somebody else. It's like a ministry.
Absolutely. And when you were first going through things, did you get any bad advice, Wallace?
Oh, yeah. I had advice like I should jump in a fair myself, and
that's a good one.
Yeah, that one was there, and advice to not go ahead and cut her off and leave her. But I had two children, and I really wanted to try to salvage the marriage if there was any way possible, and believe that was God's perfect plan.
Right.
I had a couple of friends that offered to do things that we can't discuss on the radio.
Yeah, those are good suggestions. Also, at least in the moment, you just don't want to go to jail,
right? Exactly, and it's hard to have a relationship with God when you're playing God.
Yeah, you know, it really is difficult to have a relationship when you're playing God when you think you are. I think, in fact, that was the first temptation, was it not? You can be like God,
right?
That one didn't work out too good, did it?
No, I don't think it ever has.
I don't think it ever has either. What sort of advice, since I've just got you on the air here, Wallace, people who are hurt, is there just one piece of advice that you would give them?
Well, it's hard in there.
I know, because every situation's different. But
don't give up hope, that no matter how dark today is, there's still a tomorrow, and no matter how much pain someone's in a given moment, if we'll hang in there and keep seeking God, it does get better with time.
So,
and that you don't have to do it alone, to reach out and use programs like the one that you created to find out that you don't have to be alone.
Yeah, because that alone thing is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
That is an incredibly difficult thing to go through. And I hate it, you know, when people are out there and don't have any type of support.
And the truth is that you don't have to do it alone, and so that's what I love about the forum that you've created, is there is the opportunity for people like myself and Samuel to touch bases with folks that are right where we were a few years ago, and God's delivered us out of it, and to be able to walk with people. And like Samuel said, I'm not I'm not Jesus. I'm not particularly wise, but I've just got some experience that I can share with other people that maybe it'll give somebody a little hope or just to know somebody else has been through what you're going through. That was so helpful to me at the time I was going through it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Wallace. I really appreciate it.
Glad to, Rick. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
All righty. And the way we're doing this tonight is a little bit different because typically, you know, we have so much interaction, I think, with females. And so I decided to do it as an all-male this evening. So I'm actually going to have a male user of the forum next and or of the website just so that he can kind of give his feedback about what this has been like for him. And so, again, in the sake of anonymity, what would you like me to call you? What name? You want to make up a name there? You're live.
Any name is fine. You can use my real name. My name is Evan.
Okay, Evan, that's fine. Hey, man, it's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well.
So, Evan, you're on the hurt side, are you not?
Correct.
Okay, that's good. And how long ago did the betrayal happen for you?
I found out last fall, so I guess we're coming up on about the year anniversary, but the affair started, say, the February before that. So it's been, a year and a quarter since the affair began, but I found out just almost a year ago.
Yeah, I remember very, very clearly the first night I spoke with you. That was quite an evening, actually. that probably left you. Probably remember that first night also.
There are a lot of vivid memories. Yeah.
Yeah. The first night Evan and I spoke, it was one of our online 911 groups, and obviously as a moderator. When a new group begins, we have no earthly idea who's going to be on, who's not going to be on. And everyone that was going through it had been, the female had been unfaithful. And I think we finally had one guy that had been unfaithful, but I felt really bad for the poor one guy there were two guys that had been unfaithful and three female. But, you know, it was kind of going, wow, this is an interesting group. And it really was an interesting group. So did you ever use your mentor, Evan, when you first got online?
You know, at the beginning I did, and my mentor was very helpful. He kind of responded and obviously somewhat understood where I was coming from. But honestly, as the class and the forums and everything progressed, I almost didn't think I needed my mentor as much because I felt like I had more of a relationship with the group. I mean, obviously, as going through these classes and these homework assignments, you really obviously, I mean, we all aired a lot of dirty laundry. You kind of definitely kind of get this feeling of unity, even hurt, unhurt, didn't really matter. And so as it progressed, honestly, I felt closer to them than I really did to my mentor. And later on, I came into some temptation struggles and stuff. And so I did post to him and he responded, but I almost was getting what I needed out of the group itself. And it was nice to know he was there, but I felt closer to some of the other folks.
Right, and I really, that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you online, because you were someone that really got involved in the forums.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that everyone understands, but in the subscription site, not only do you have the mentor program, but there are also forums. And so Evan was involved with a forum with his group, and they actually ate up probably an entire server in text.
I imagine, yeah.
I imagine. It was prolific. And it was a real blessing because you guys were able to, I think, write a lot to each other. So what did you get from using the forum and just being able to communicate with people between sessions? How did that benefit you, Evan?
I would say there were basically two main benefits that I received. I'm a very techie person, and so I was notified almost immediately when somebody would post, and it was good to know. I guess the two things that I received is it was great to know that there was a network out there of people that I could talk to, and there were days that we would all post, hey, everything's awesome, and then I know that there were a couple of days where I posted, hey guys, I've been struggling a whole lot, and how's everybody else doing? And it seems like, I mean, Rick, you even told us at the beginning that there's some cycles that we're all going to go through, and not to say I doubted you, but it was pretty amazing where we all hit rough patches at about the exact same time. So one, it was great knowing that there were other spouses that I could talk to that understood exactly where I was at. But it was really, really helpful for me to hear, I am the hurt spouse, but to hear the unfaithful spouse's side from other couples. Because, you know, I think I understand my wife some, but obviously, I don't know how to say this correctly, but obviously not enough that this didn't end up happening. And so she would try to explain things to me, but I didn't hear it coming from her. But then when I would read something from somebody, another unfaithful spouse, or even a hurt spouse that echoed my feelings or Amy's feelings, it drove it home that we were not necessarily an aberration. We were not, I don't want to call us the norm, because I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I didn't feel like the one guy or the one couple out there that was going through this. And sometimes I didn't understand what my wife was saying, but I understood what other people were saying. And the other side is, I love the written word, because there were definitely a couple of posts that got me riled up. And I'd go back and I'd read it until I felt like I understood it. And there's something about having to writing. It's so cathartic that there are definitely a couple posts that I wrote that I never actually posted because I didn't think they were really meant for the forums. They were meant for me, and so it had a lot of blessings. I don't know if I can necessarily pin it down to just a couple.
Yeah, and that really is one of the unique things to me, was the fact that y'all had a couples forum. So your group had its own forum where the interaction was really for all the couples at the same time, which I think is what a great opportunity to be able to process stuff as a larger group. And, you know, having everyone weigh in is an amazing opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also had a forum just for the hurt spouse, where y'all could post to each other also and support one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a neat deal also. And, you know, it's neat. How are you and your wife doing at this point?
We are actually doing really better than I could have expected. We celebrated our 5-year wedding anniversary about a week ago. And that also just happened to kind of post some reminder anniversaries, I guess is what I'd say. But it was actually very nice and very exciting for both of us. We have recently moved and are going through job changes and family changes. We did not live near our family, and now we do, and so we're kind of getting used to actually being around family, which is, I think, like anybody knows, kind of a blessing and a curse. I love my family, but there's times where I just don't really need to see my family. But what's been wonderful for our relationship is that through a lot of this, we've learned to communicate. We were already pretty good at communicating, but I think we've learned to communicate honestly, where we can tell each other things in love, and I think we're also much more sensitive to each other's feelings. And so, you know, as one of us is having a bad day, not necessarily taking that to mean, and this is a big deal for me as the hurt spouse, if she's having a rough day, understanding that that does not necessarily mean she's running away from me. She may just be having just a day. And so we have learned so much, and we at some point, and I wish I could say when that tipping point was, have begun to look at kind of us against the world and as a team, and that all the stuff and all the decisions we're making are for us rather than kind of each other, you know, as individuals. And so I would say, honestly, it's been very miraculous. If you would have asked me what I would be saying, I guess, what, 9 months ago, about when we began the course, or almost a year ago now, I would not have foreseen this at all.
Yeah, that it is neat to watch how miracles occur, don't they?
Oh yeah, oh yes.
I mean, I'm blessed to know that y'all have done so well. And the nice thing about Evan, I mean, again, he and his wife are one of those that went through the Marriage 911 course, and I may actually interview the two of you later again just to talk about what that experience was like, being with those couples. But we won't be doing that till later on this summer. So, well, thank you for joining us and for your feedback, Evan. And I appreciate you breaking away from your family to be able to talk with us this evening.
Oh, no, this has been wonderful. We received so much from the course that anything we can do to give back is nothing. So.
Well, and be sure to tell your wife I said hi, okay?
I will. Thank you, Rick.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, with that, it's about time to close down the program this evening. You know, again, please, if you're listening in tonight, go to the Bad Advice blog. If nothing else, you can sit there and read it and see how your advice stands up or compares against the advice that other people got. And maybe it'll just kind of compel us all to pray for one another because, again, well-meaning people, I mean, truly, truly, truly well-meaning people, who don't understand oftentimes will say the craziest things. And, you know, you can get far enough down the line that you begin to read it and you think, you know, it's really kind of funny at some point. You just go, man. And I would never want any of them to be able to give good advice because probably to do that oftentimes they would have to go through some of the things that many of you have gone through. And so we really aren't wishing that on them. But at the same time, we always say at the Fair Recovery Center that sometimes humor is the only anesthesia that we've got that allows us to get through this stuff. Now, we have a couple of really cool things coming up. The launch is coming up this week. So for heaven's sake, again, go to the website, go look at the Bad Advice job, get on that notification list so that we can at least let you know what's going on and take advantage of the bonuses that are coming up and lock your price in for lifetime. In addition, Stephanie and I are going to be in San Francisco this next week speaking at the Smart Marriages Conference. So I would certainly covet your prayers and ask that you pray for us and the rest of the staff while we're gone. We have a Utah EMS, the 15th of August. So if any of you are out there on the West Coast, and we have a lot of West Coast listeners, and even in Utah, and you want to join that EMS, just go to the website. You can join. You can get information on that. And also, we have an EMS the 22nd of August here in Austin, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. And coming up in the very near future, the brand new Harboring Hope online course is coming. And get on that priority notification list because that is going to be incredibly cool and an amazing blessing if you're hurt spouse. So God bless you, and I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next weekend. Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, A Fair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?